Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
October 17th, 2006, the Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, things I learned the hard way. That's right, I have a fun show for you today, and you're going to be able to benefit from my stupidity in the past. And I think we're going to make two shows out of this, because today I'm going to cover things that I've learned the hard way. I'll give you a sampling of my shortcomings in the past. And then I thought that maybe you will have some things that you've learned the hard way that you can send in to me. And then maybe we can do another show up the road where we have reader submitted things I learned the hard way. But I thought first, let's do mine, and I'll sort of get the ball rolling today. And I have a nice little list of, things I wish I hadn't done, but hopefully I won't do them again. I'll jump right in with a website story. This is a pretty good one. Back when I was first creating websites to promote my photography and for people to see my work and sign up and hire me and be, you know, so impressed by the kinds of pictures that I took that they would want me to take pictures of them. So back in those days, I spent a lot of time on my Mac, you know, getting the exposure and getting the images just right so that I would stay up to like 2 in the morning, making sure that every image was just right and just perfect. So I was very proud of my earlier renditions of my website, and I remember being over at a potential client's office one day. She was considering having me do portraits of she and her family. And so, you know, I was showing her prints and, telling her about my approach to photography and everything. And she said, well, you know, do you have anything else I can see? Because I just brought a handful of prints, which that's all that I usually do. So being, you know, proud of this new website that I had just published online, I said, hey, why don't you go over to, you know, www.storyphoto.com, take a look at my new online galleries, and you can see even more of my work. So she had an older PC, Windows PC, with a little bit of an older monitor. I wasn't really, you know, thinking that that would be any sort of issue, because I knew my pictures were perfect because I had stayed up to 2 in the morning, night after night, making sure that every image was adjusted just right. So she pulls up the website and goes to the first gallery of portraits, and they all were dark. I don't mean just a little dark. I mean, very dark. And I'm looking at the shots, you know, the same time that she is, as they come up on the screen. And I'm glad no one took a picture of me at that moment, because my jaw was probably down a good 4 inches as I just stared at the screen in horror, wanting to, you know, unplug her computer or do something. And, you know, she was very polite about, she's looking at the shots and she's going, those are nice. And I'm thinking, you know, so what do you do? Because, you know, one of my rules in photography is never apologize for the work that you've chosen to show other people. You know, just you just sort of have to go with it, because you only make things worse when you start making excuses. So I said, yes, and, you know, here's this composition and here's that composition. And I just sort of hung in there with it. And actually, I did end up getting the job. I'm actually really surprised that I did, because I think if I had been shown those shots, I probably would have said, I'm going to think about it a little bit. But she did hire me. But the lesson that I learned the hard way there was that, especially if you're working on a Mac, that Macs have a native calibration, a gamma of 1.8. PCs tend to be at gamma 2.2. And if you don't take this into account, especially when you're showing images on older PCs, the things that you create on your Mac can look a lot darker on a Windows PC. So the thing that I learned, the lesson that I learned the hard way, is that once I create my shots and get ready to publish them on my website, I like to take a look at them on another computer or two or three or a dozen, as many as I can get my hands on, just to make sure that I have found that sweet spot in terms of how they look on all the various types of monitors. Remember, even if your monitor is calibrated, that doesn't mean that people looking at your shots have their monitor calibrated. Now, another thing that I've learned the hard way is that newer PCs tend to look more like newer Macs, and older PCs tend to have more of this darker problem. So it's something to keep in mind. So the lesson that I would give you, my first one here, is that if you're publishing images on a website, and especially if they're portfolio images that you're going to show to other people, look at them on other computers. Don't just trust yours, because you might have a much better, nicer, and brighter monitor than people that are looking at your shots. So you try to find a middle ground, something that you can live with on your computer, but that also looks decent on older computers. Speaking of taking pictures of other people, this thing that I learned the hard way has to do with model releases. Now, as you know, and as I've talked about in other shows, if you take a picture of someone out in the world or anywhere over the course of your photography, and you want to use that shot basically anyway, put it on your website, publish it in a magazine article, make a poster of it, something for commercial purposes, put it in a book, whatever, you're always a lot safer if you have a model release, especially if the model is recognizable in the shot. Now, you need to carry your model releases with you, and you need to have people sign them when you take the shot. This is very important. The thing that I learned the hard way is I used to carry business cards with me. And so then I'd take a shot of somebody and say I got a grab shot or something, and I knew that it was a really good shot. I would give them my business card that had my email on it and said, you know, I just took a picture of you. I'm going to give you my card here. You can get in touch with me. Send me an email, and then that way I can get your permission so that I can use it for other things. And also, at the same time, I will be able to send you back a few of the shots that I took of you. It seemed very logical, right? Give them the card. They'll write you. You'll get their permission. You'll send them some shots, and off you go. Here's the thing. People won't write you. Even at the time that they seem very enthusiastic and very positive about the experience, you know what? They're busy. They got a lot of stuff to do. They might lose the card. They might not even really care about your shot of them. And they certainly don't care if they're going to give you permission or not. It's not at the top of their daily list. So if you don't have a model release with you, then get their email at least. Now, this isn't as good as getting a signed model release right on the spot, which is always the best. However, if you forgot your model release or it just isn't convenient, if they're dashing off to catch a train, whatever, at least get their email address so that you can contact them. Now, people are usually hesitant to give you their address, rightly so. And they're often hesitant to give you their phone number, although I'm amazed at how often they do. But people seem pretty comfortable with giving you their email address. And why not? Every spammer in the world has their email address. Why not a nice photographer that you met at the train station? So you can get their email address. It is still, I would say, second best. Model release that's signed is first best. But whatever you do, don't give them your card and expect them to write you, because they probably won't. And I've learned this the hard way. Next one. Know the difference between fresh batteries and dead batteries, because on the outside, you can't tell. This story happened to me in Washington, D.C., And I like Washington, D.C. a lot, by the way. I think it's a great place to visit as a tourist if you're an American. And even if you're not an American, I think it'll give you some clue as to, you know, why we behave the way we do by, you know, visiting all the different sites, the monuments, the Smithsonian Institute, all those very American places. So anyway, I was spending a day, you know, walking out among all the monuments. It was kind of a warm Washington, D.C. muggy day. And I climbed up the steps, and there's a lot of them, to the Lincoln Memorial, one of my favorite places to go. And a lot of times, it seems like when I go to the Lincoln Memorial, there's scaffolding there, and they seem to be always working on it. However, this one time I went there, there wasn't any scaffolding, and there weren't a whole lot of people, and the light was good, and I actually had an opportunity to get some really good shots there. So I pull out my camera, and I go to start taking some shots, and I notice I have the low battery warning. And so I sort of milk it for another shot or two, just really starting to find that perfect shot, and the camera went dead. No problem. I had my spare batteries with me. However, the batteries that I had brought with me were the dead batteries from the day before. They weren't the charged ones that were sitting probably on my dresser in the hotel room. I had accidentally grabbed the dead batteries instead of the charged ones, and I had been carrying the dead batteries around with me all day. I promptly loaded the dead batteries into my camera. The camera fired up, of course, because, you know, sometimes they recharge just a little bit. I get ready to take the first shot, and it closes down. At that moment, I realized I had packed dead batteries. So, the thing that I learned the hard way is make sure that you have some way to mark your batteries so that you bring fresh batteries with you when you go out shooting and not the dead ones from the day before. I learned this one the hard way. If you've been listening to the show regularly or if you follow my web blogs on thedigitalstory.com, you know that I'm a fan of high ISO shooting, existing light shots. This is one of the things I love about digital photography, is that I don't have to use a flash all the time because, quite honestly, a lot of times the flash kills the shot, or that little measly flash that's on my camera just can't get the job done. So I like jacking up the ISO to 400, and if I can get away with it, to 800 on my DSLR and shooting existing light. You put a good 50 millimeter f1.8 lens on there or my 85 f1.8 and I can really get some good stuff. Here's the thing that I learned the hard way. When you jack up the ISO, when you're doing an existing light shoot, make sure once you finish the shoot, you return the ISO to 100. Because inevitably, the next shoot that you'll do the next day will be some beautiful landscape shot or some beautiful architecture shot in full sunlight with a big blue sky. And if you haven't returned your ISO to 100, you will shoot all these lovely shots at ISO 800, which means you'll have more noise in the sky, you won't have as good color saturation, and the overall image quality just won't be, well, let's say, as good. So the thing that I learned the hard way is get in the habit of after you do an existing light shoot with the ISO jacked up, right then, once you finish the shoot, return your camera to ISO 100. Make this a habit and you'll save yourself the grief and the embarrassment of recording lovely, beautiful landscape shots at ISO 800. It's very embarrassing. Here's a story I've told before. I'll title it, Beware of Camera Modifications. This all started with my Canon EOS 10D, a camera that I still have and like a lot. And, you know, the viewfinder on the back, you know, when you're working a lot like I do, and you have it hanging around your neck, you know, the viewfinder can be bouncing up against buttons on your shirt or a zipper or something like that. And over the course of time, it can get scratched up. So I was thinking, I'd like to find a way to protect my viewfinder. So I was at a trade show, and I saw these guys from Hoodman. that have all these sort of wonderful camera mods, you know, that you can do. And the one that they had at this time was this cool little clear plastic cover that you could put over your LCD monitor that would protect it. Now, the way that this cover was attached to your camera was with what they called removable adhesive. The thinking being that you use this removable adhesive, you put this clear cover on, you use it, and then someday if you change your mind, you don't want it or whatever, the adhesive will actually, you know, come off and you can take off this clear cover. I used this cover for about a year or so, and I was pretty happy with it. So I go back to this trade show, I think it was PMA actually, the following year, and they had come up with something new for my 10D. It was actually a lift-up lid that would open up and would create like a little shaded viewing area for my LCD monitor. So not only did it protect it when it was closed, but also it would be easier to see the monitor in direct sunlight. I thought this was pretty cool. So I bought it, you know, knowing that I could take off my other cover and, you know, kind of do an upgrade modification to my camera. I get everything back to my studio and I sit down at my little workbench and I start to, you know, try to take the existing cover off that has removable adhesive on it. And it's not budging very much. And I go, well, you know, maybe I just need to kind of get something under there to, you know, pry it off a little bit. And that once it starts going, it will, you know, come off. And it was a nice warm day. And I thought, you know, I think we're fine here. I just need to get a little leverage. So I got a little screwdriver and I kind of work it under there and I start to kind of, you know, wiggle it back and forth and I go, I feel like it's starting to come, you know, starting to come off. I can feel it give a little bit and I gave it a little extra pop and sure enough, it popped off. But it wasn't just the cover that popped off. It was the whole LCD screen on my camera popped off. Obviously, the adhesive that Canon used to hold that back screen on was more removable than the adhesive that Hoodman gave me for the protective cover. So now I have, you know, now I'm looking right into the guts of my 10D monitor. And this is not a good thing at all. I did discover, however, that Sony makes the those little LCD screens for Canon. At least they did on the LCD because I see a little Sony there. So now I'm sort of, you know, very nervous. So I did manage, once I had the screen off the Canon, then I really work and I got the protective cover off it. So now I have the, you know, the Canon screen that I need to, you know, mount back into the camera to get back to square one. So I thought, well, okay, I'll just put a little dab of super glue in each of the corners of the Canon screen, put it back in there, and everything will be okay. Well, that was a really bad idea because super glue, bless its heart, it does work very well sometimes, but sometimes it just makes things worse, and this was one of those times. The little fibers of super glue kind of streamed across the inside of the screen, and then I'm going, oh no, I got some, you know, some stuff on the inside of my screen there. So then I'm trying to rub it off, and I end up smearing it. So then it gets worse, and pretty soon I have this like sticky screen with smears on the inside, and I'm just beside myself. And I go, you know what, I just have to stop while I'm behind here. I slap the thing on there. It did stick. But now every time I look at the LCD monitor on my Canon 10D, all I can see is all these smears and super glue things on the inside of the screen that will be there forever and that I can never get off again. So the thing that I learned the hard way is be very leery of modifications to your expensive equipment. If it involves removable adhesive especially, I would stay away from it because adhesive has a way of going from the removable state to the on for the rest of its life state, and chances are, over the course of time, that is what will happen to you. This next one is probably my most embarrassing of all of these on the list, and I call this one, check your facts before spouting off. And this, you know, can take all sorts of shapes and forms. This is an Achilles heels of a lot of us who are photographers, which is we hear something that we think is true. And then because, you know, we want people to think we know what we're talking about, then we share that information with other people who are looking to us as gurus in our field. And a lot of times you're right. You know, a lot of things in photography are constant, and you know, you hear something and you sort of run it through your logical processor in your brain and you go, yeah, that makes sense. And so then you share that information with other people. So my embarrassing moment around all this came with one post that still exists on the Digital Story, and it's called, Erase Memory Cards, Don't Format Them, something like this. And this was something that I had been told a while back, quite a while ago, when I was interviewing someone who wrote software to restore memory cards that had been erased. If you wanted to retrieve photos, you accidentally, you know, erased your memory card and you wanted to get them back, you know, they had software to do that. And over the course of the interview, this person had recommended that it's better to erase your memory cards instead of reformatting them because it's easier to retrieve information with the software. So I was, you know, one day thinking, you know, this would be a good post. And this was early in the days of the Digital Story. And so I made a post just sort of based on my old notes that I had taken. I just dug them up and just sort of reread them and dashed off this post. And suddenly I noticed that the traffic on the site was really kind of popping. Well, what had happened is a few big websites had picked up the story and were pointing to it. And then I started reading the comments and people were going, "What the heck are you talking about? That's not true at all." And in fact, all these people were right. These days, erasing is not necessarily better than reformatting your memory cards. And in fact, formatting actually seems to be a better way to go. The reason being that formatting cards increases their performance. You especially want to do it if you haven't reformatted for a while. And it really kind of tidies up things, but it doesn't inhibit your ability to retrieve photos, as I had said incorrectly in my post. Now, I hadn't bothered to recheck things before I wrote this post, which is what I should have done. I should have re-researched the subject, seen how things were today, tested it out with software by both erasing images and trying to retrieve them, and reformatting the card and trying to retrieve them, which I did afterwards because I was so embarrassed, only to learn that everyone that was posting the comments was correct and that I was way off base on this. So my thing that I learned the hard way is that if you're going to share information about photography, make sure you know what you're talking about. Make sure that, you know, you've verified it, you've tested it, that you have a really good handle on what you're telling other people. And this becomes especially true if you're going to post it on your website or share it with folks in any sort of written form. Even if you think you know what you're talking about, double check it and test it. And to this day, because I believe that you shouldn't take posts off the web, you know, once you put them up there, you just sort of have to live with them. To this day, you know, I still have people coming to that one post that I wrote still, as much, you know, it's one of the most popular posts on the site. And the conversation continues. And every time I see it show up in the top 20 in my weblog stats, I just cringe because I just want this thing to go away. But, of course, it won't, and I just have to deal with it. So learn from me. Learn this lesson. Do not learn it the hard way as I did. Make sure you check your facts and know what you're talking about before you write, even if you think you know. Chances are you might not, and you just might be spreading folklore. So that one is a biggie. Okay, so now that I've bared my soul to you and I've told you of all of my shortcomings, so not all of them, but all of them that I could think of over the course of this morning as I was thinking about this podcast, I thought, you know what would be cool? I know there's lots of other stuff that's important for people to know that I haven't covered. But you probably do know some of this stuff. So here's what I want to do. send me an email. Send it to Derek@thedigitalstory.com, and that's D-E-R-R-I-C-K at thedigitalstory, spell it all out, .com. Put in the subject line, something I learned the hard way, and then put your name. And if you have an anecdote for me, a story similar to the ones that I've told on the podcast today, a good one, send it on in. Let me know if I can say your name. Hopefully, you know, I can, or at least your first name. And what I will do is then I will put together another show with reader-submitted things I learned the hard way. And I think it'll be a lot of fun. And it'll give me a chance to, spread more wisdom, you know, from those of us that have learned things in the trenches. And what I'll also do in the show notes, for those of you that do contribute to this, and I do use them, in the show notes, then I will put links to your website, or if you even have an online example of what you're talking about or something, I'll put links to that. And we'll make this not only a very educational exercise, but I think it will be a lot of fun too. So again, you know, you can send mail to Derek@thedigitalstory.com, put in the subject line, something I learned the hard way, with your name, and send it on in. I'll kind of keep a running tally of them. Once I get enough to do the show, then I'll put together another podcast with them, and we'll have some more self-effacing fun. Okay, just a little bit of business now. Reflection. That is the photo assignment for this month. I'm already getting entries. I want more. I hope you're working on your reflection photo assignment. And remember, now you don't just have to go the easy way. I'm sure you probably have something in your catalog right now that'll work. But really think about a unique interpretation of this theme and see if you can send in something that's creative and fun and really looks good. So again, you can send them to Derek@thedigitalstory.com. You just put photo assignment in the subject line, put October. And off you go. If you need any help with that, go to the submissions page on the Digital Story. It'll map it all out for you. One of the things I have to do on that page is change the maximum width from 400 to 600, although everyone that is submitting seems to be listening to the show and know that they can go 600. And then I had some folks say, well, I never know what the photo assignment is. You know, I'm a little behind on the podcast and stuff. What I do, every time I publish a photo assignment, the current one, I always say what the next one's going to be. So all you have to do is go to the photo assignment drop-down menu, look at the most recent photo assignment gallery I've published, and I will tell you what the next one is right there. Okay, well, the gardener has just fired up the lawnmower outside, so that's my cue to wrap it up for today. Send in those grab shots, work on your photo assignment, and go take some shots, and send me some things that you learned the hard way. Let's keep this going. I think this could be a lot of fun, and we can get a little bit of mileage out of it. All right, I'll see you next week. Bye-bye now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, weblogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.